My name is Alan. I'm a grateful believer in Jesus Christ, and I'm finding victory over codependency, control, and worry. And my wife said tonight, she said, there's nothing to be worried about. You used to be the president of your junior high. I said, well, yeah, that was a long time ago under different circumstances. So easy for her to say. She's sitting in the back there, too. But anyway, let's get going. If I happen to have a couple of pauses, just bear with me, and we'll get through this thing. I was born in Long Beach, California, was raised there and spent the majority of my life in that area until the last few years. I was an only child, and I remember my childhood to be about as normal as you would think one should be. My mom worked for the Long Beach Police Department, and my dad was an L.A. County fireman. And he did carpenter work on his days off, usually with the other fireman he worked with. My years through grammar school, junior high, and high school seemed to be about as status quo as most kids experienced growing up in the 60s and 70s. As I would get into the junior high and college years, there were times I could be very selfish, moody, and sometimes mean in my relationship with others. That mostly manifested itself towards my immediate family and my dating relationships. This behavior would be a struggle throughout my life and probably contributed a great deal to my issues with control, codependency, and worry. The next chapter for me was meeting my future wife for the first time at a Christmas dinner at the fire station. Both of our dads worked at the same station at the time, and I became smitten with her immediately. Almost forgot that. We began dating soon after this, and she asked me to attend church with them. It didn't take long for me to realize that what Romans 3:23 says was true in my life. For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. It became obvious to me that Christ died for my sins, and I accepted him as my Savior. This was a huge change for me because even though I did go to church some and believed in God when I was young, I didn't have a personal relationship with him. Soon after I trusted in Christ, my wife and I got engaged, and we were married at a young age. We became involved at church as deacons and in leadership in the new marriage class, and I was being discipled by a godly pastor who was our class leader. We started our family, had two sons, and embarked on our Christian life as a family together. It seemed to me that I was on my way to serving and living for God and being the man, husband, and father I was supposed to be. In retrospect, though, things have not gone the way that I thought they would in my life and my marriage and my family. As the years progressed, and I was attempting to find my niche in a career that I could sink my teeth into, those same issues of being self-centered, controlling, and lashing out were being fed and growing deeper inside of me. My behavior was having a devastating effect on my relationship with my wife and our marriage. I was driving a wedge in our relationship so deep. That nothing short of God's miraculous work was going to be able to help keep our marriage together. He did keep us together, but those are very difficult years. Conversely, in the same time period, my business career was taking off, and it seemed I had found the right fit for my strengths. It had always been my belief that my identity as a man and provider was directly tied to my career and striving to be the best at what I did. And then the financial security would follow. God was allowing this to take place, and our family was being blessed, and I was thankful. But in reality, I was slowly becoming more reliant on my own abilities. Without realizing it, I was taking control of these key areas of my life, essentially telling God that I knew what was best, and for him to sit on the sideline until the next crisis appeared. At the time, little did I know that life-changing events and crisis were coming in the years ahead. I would continue to pour more time and energy into my work because more would equal increased security and financial stability. At least I thought that was right. At what cost, though? The cost would be on the most important areas of my life, my relationship with the Lord, continued strain in our marriage, and precious time lost with my sons. Ah, my boys, wasn't I being the right role model as a Christian husband and dad? Well, in my mind, I thought more often than not I was, but that was my own flawed, stinking thinking. Our family life continued for the most part in the same pattern as our sons grew up through high school. There was continued difficulty in our marriage, and as a result, I would pour myself more and more into my work. I was getting a false sense of security that when the rest of my personal life was unbearable, I could run to the one safe place that would give me peace and security. That was my job. What a fool. I was placed in that idol where God should have been in my life. I have also come to realize that there were other areas of sin and habits that were being harvested within me. That being pride and being judgmental of others. All these years, I've never felt these were areas of weakness for me personally and really would condemn others for being arrogant, prideful, and judgmental. Nevertheless, internal pride in my own accomplishments and judging others were creeping into my heart. These areas of dysfunction, coupled with just going through the motions in my Christian life, were setting a bad precedent and foundation for what lie ahead. In the early 2000s, my mom discovered she had a rare form of cancer called multiple myeloma. She battled this for several years, but lost this fight after suffering two devastating strokes in 2004. This was the most difficult time in my life because I was the only child and we were extremely close. In the same time period, my older son was becoming involved in a band and the whole music scene and the drug culture. This culminated with him finally realizing he needed help, and he entered the Teen Challenge program. He stuck it out, went through about a year and a half in the program, successfully completing it, determined to change his life. He did for a time. What had developed in those difficult years trying to help our son were codependent patterns within me that would lead to devastating circumstances in the near future. A couple years after my mom went to be with the Lord, we had learned my father-in-law was diagnosed with the same cancer, which compounded the other health challenges he had been battling for years. The Lord took him home shortly after he fell and broke his hip. This was totally devastating to the family, the church family, and countless friends because of the unique, solid man of God he was. He was like a second loving dad to me, and I had lost my best friend. I was shaken to the core. What other personal grief and devastation would my family and I be able to withstand? We were going to find out soon. In this time period, my wife and I had made a decision to make a life change and relocate to Tualatin from Southern California. While this process was being planned and beginning to be implemented, my older son was creeping back into the self-destructive lifestyle that he had overcome years earlier. This direction for him began slow and subtle, and even included getting a job working at a famous Southern California chopper manufacturer. At first, this seemed to be a positive career path for him, but it didn't pan out that way, and it ended very badly. As he began to slide more and more back into the music scene and his addictive behaviors, he was becoming an expert at deceit, lying, and emphatically denying he had the same problem as before. Sometimes our family and I would try to believe him, and other times it just wasn't going to fly. My son was watching carefully how I was reacting, and he saw a glaring weakness in me. Full-blown codependency, which resulted in my enabling him like never before. What was to transpire in my relationship with my son in the next few years was really nothing short of astonishing. He began to weave some of the most unbelievable scenarios about what was happening and taking place in his life in order to get what he needed from me, money, and ultimately a lot of it. The picture he was painting about his circumstances began in similar fashion to what we had heard years earlier, but I couldn't really buckle my seatbelt fast enough for what was to transpire. If you can just imagine the most intense, surreal, and bizarre Hollywood script that could be produced. This was taking place between us. It didn't take long for my wife, my younger son, and our family to see through the lies. For me, it was a whole other story. He was reeling me in, hook, line, and sinker, and you might as well throw in the anchor. He knew every button and emotion to push with me, and it put me on my heels, ultimately on a daily basis. I was hopelessly trying to fix him and save him from these fabricated daily crisis scenarios, and it was taking its toll on him, me, my marriage, and my family. The devastation was widespread, and it was transforming me into an emotional, physical, hollowed-out wreck. I had become totally deceitful to my wife and family and about what I was doing every day by destructively enabling my son. Out of all the heartaches in my life, with the loss of my mom, my father-in-law through the years, I was able to somehow cope and move on, sometimes by leaning on God, but more often than not by pouring myself back into work. This time, though, I had become totally broken and brought to my knees in every area of my life. There seemed to be no way out of this spiral. I prayed for God to miraculously take me out of this mess with hopefully minimal consequences to pay. That was a joke. But I was living in the true definition of insanity by repeating the same irrational behavior over and over, expecting a different outcome. Well, the inevitable happened, and we received the call from our son that he was arrested and in jail, which would be the first of several times. With the help of a police officer I knew, we were given the news that what he was claiming to be true about all that had been happening was not taking place. That revelation was in one way a blessing and relief, but it forced me to make a decision. I had to admit to my family of the financial destruction I had caused and was still causing, with the thinking that I was saving my son and family from the horror he was portraying to be reality. It just wasn't true. And I had to take the majority of our retirement funds to pay for the damage that I'd done. For a guy who most of his adult life was working towards being successful in business and building some retirement, this was devastating. This had become one of my idols and a form of security. After this event, I reluctantly came to celebrate recovery because I was strongly encouraged by my family that I needed help. I didn't think I needed that, but I didn't have any choice at that point. My bargaining chips were gone. After attending a couple of meetings, I was under the illusion that my issues weren't that bad because some of these other folks were really messed up. Little did I know. Not a big deal, though. I can come for a little while and get fixed and move on. That's kind of was my MO through my life, that this was going to be a piece of cake. Well, not so easy. Shock of the century. This was not the way it was going to work for me. I found that I was a broken mess and needed to let God heal me and be committed to see a real change in my life. It was truly amazing the acceptance, support, and love I received in my men's group. They strongly encouraged me to go through a step study, that this would help me take the next path in my journey of recovery. I agreed and joined with a group of incredible guys. as my step-study progressed, my son got out of jail and began subtly asking me for help, just so he could get on his feet. I began to fall back into the familiar trap of codependency and control, thinking I was just helping him. I knew it was wrong and tried to end it, but the blackmailing process began, and I was stuck yet again. Will this madness never end, I thought. Well, since I wasn't willing to end it, God did, through a fateful phone call from my son, Super Bowl night, in front of my wife and family. It was obvious to them I hadn't stopped, and I was given an ultimatum to show proof by the next day if I was telling the truth or I was continuing the deceit. With no options, I was forced to come clean about my continued involvement in enabling my son. I had to agree to every form of accountability and transparency imaginable. There would still be more pain to endure. My son then unleashed his full fury, not only on me this time, but my wife and our family. For some months, it was gut-wrenching on all of us. It got to the point of where we thought he would end up dead of an overdose or in prison. I was totally broken, and I realized that I couldn't fix him or myself. There was nowhere to turn but give my life and my son's life totally to the Lord. I did what I couldn't and wouldn't do before in my life, finally let go of the control of all these things and then wait for God to work. Regardless of the outcome, I had to trust Him for what was to play out. This was one of the hardest things I would ever have to do because I was the one that always knew the best. I would literally cringe waiting for God to drop His hammer on me and our family. Proverbs 3, 5 through 6 is so true. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge Him, and He will make your path straight. Amazingly, He didn't drop the hammer, and I was beginning to experience His peace and comfort. He was in control now, a place He always wanted to be, and I realized He knew what was best for my life. It was beautiful what He was doing. There were very specific answers to prayers that were taking place, and He was protecting my son from complete disaster. Then the news we hoped to hear, my son finally hit bottom and admitted he needed help, and he checked into a solid rehab program in Long Beach. What a blessing that was. It took for me to finally realize I couldn't fix my son and let him go into God's hands for Him to work in my son's life for His purpose. That is exactly what He is doing now. My son has now been clean and sober. My son has now been clean and sober for 15 months. He is... He is thinking and acting like a responsible adult. And even though there are difficult challenges and consequences to overcome, God has been there for him every step, pursuing him and very clearly walking him through each hurdle. The Lord loves him. More than ever I can imagine. We are very blessed and thankful. Now I was looking forward to a season of rest and to continue growing Christ. I was becoming more involved in CR and leadership, and it's so special to be able to see other men's lives being changed by Christ through this recovery program. I had also begun to go through discipleship with a wonderful guy here at Rolling Hills, and trust was being restored with my wife and family. that God wanted to do something more in my life that I wasn't prepared for. Yet another area that I put too much security and faith in was shaken. Through a set of circumstances out of my control, this January my Northwest sales territory was closed and I was laid off from my job. At first I thought, how can this happen? Because I was so entrenched in my industry for almost 25 years. And the truth was, I wasn't getting any younger. Well, it did happen. And the big question was, how am I going to react? As 1 month turned into two, then into three, then into four, anxiety began to be overwhelming. We were running out of money quickly to pay the bills. And mostly this was a result of my previous poor decisions I had made in trying to help my son. We were facing huge decisions on what we may have to do, with our home, the cars, literally everything. In the midst of this, God was blessing us very specifically through others in just the right time. We were overwhelmed at their generosity, and it made all the difference in buying us more time. God was also giving me a peace that He is and was going to take care of us. I just didn't know how. Well, when the job prospects looked the most dim, I received a call from my ex-manager, who knew me and my work history very well. He told me that he'd been working on a new position with his current company that was precisely based on my background and experience. His upper management liked the concept, and he wanted to see if I was interested before he went any further with it. And I thought to myself, are you kidding me? When can I get going? It was perfect in every way. God knows exactly what He's doing and exactly the right timing. I was shown yet again the blessings of giving up total control to the Lord of every area of my life, even in the areas I held on to the closest to. He actually does know what is best, and He has proved it over and over and over again. I am very thankful for the Celebrate Recovery program and for the wonderful group of guys that came alongside of me at my lowest times. They encouraged me, held me accountable, shed some tears with me, and loved me unconditionally. They were Christ's hands to me, and this has opened up a passion in me to be there for other men and walking through this process of recovery together. Jesus Christ has taken my brokenness and has turned it into good for His glory. He is slowly transforming my heart and mind into what He intended for me all along. Romans 12:2 says it's best. Do not conform any longer to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, His good, pleasing, and perfect will. Amazingly, my life's passions are literally changing, and I actually anticipate opportunities to be able to share with others what God has done in my life and how He can work in theirs. In this journey of my life, I've been in the stands and probably at the snack bar most of the time while thinking I was following God's game plan. Well, I'm finally getting in the game. To sum it up, I believe the words from the John Fogerty song says it best. Put me in, coach. I'm ready to play today. This is my story and I'm sticking to it. Thank you for listening.